time for the Dane Bye Local Radio Show. Let's get local. Each week, we are your connection to local as we talk with leaders of area businesses, nonprofits, and government. There are so many amazing people and organizations in our community, so let's get into it. Let's get local.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Let's Get Local here on a Saturday from the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, University Avenue here, Madison, Wisconsin. Glad to be here once again. I'm Jason Hafeman, your host of the program, to talk to you about those local stories and events and businesses and organizations that are doing impactful things in our community. We know there's always a number of things happening, right? Every single weekend, every single day, there are wonderful people doing amazing things. We like to get the word out there about those things and always remind you to go local, buy local, be local, to think local first, to have that mindset. And we just got through here this past week a wonderful opportunity with Dane Bye Local to recognize some people who are doing some amazing things, organizations that are adding value to our community, but doing extra, taking it a step further. And Megan Stern with DBL is with us here this morning to kind of recap the Dane Bye Local Biz Awards that took place on Wednesday a little bit. Megan, it was a great night and a great event.
Yeah, it was quite beautiful. You never know, especially these days, what attendance is going to be like and if people are going to be well. And it just turned out to be a really, really lovely evening at Holy Wisdom Monastery. It's always an adventure going there because you think, well, is this a religion, you know, encouraging people to come? And no, it's not. We're not going there as a monastery. We're going there as just a really, really lovely setting where it's just peace and beauty. And it was just a really nice setting for all the really great businesses that we have.
Yeah, it was a great, great night, wonderful place to hold an event, and Holy Wisdom is out there for you if you're looking to to utilize a space like that. You know, there's plenty of room to spread out. You can have a number of people in different areas of the building. There are different things to do. Like, talk about the Biz Awards, Megan. So we had a program, we had a presentation, we had the assembly area for that, but there were other things in other areas too where you can feature, you know, businesses coming in. We had the wine pull, we had alcohol there, we had all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, we took over their registration desk and turned that into a bar, which worked out really well. They have a really beautiful gathering space, which was perfect for socializing in our cocktail time period and networking. And the food, they have on-site chefs who do a fantastic job with food. So it was just an opportunity, and we had artists on site so people could go along and look at artists and buy items if they were interested. P Dice Entertainment brought in a 360 camera for social media posts, which was quite amusing. I did it with my son, and that was really fun. So it was just a really relaxed but really enjoyable experience in little city seating areas. So it was great.
That was the Dane Bye Local Biz Awards. Tell people, just to give them an idea, Megan, so kind of the intent of the Biz Awards is to do what?
You said it really well earlier. It's just, we have over 600 members in our organization, and they're all wonderful, and they're all part of an organization of other businesses that are like-minded. They want to share their values. They want to support their community. They want to support each other. And so it's a hard event to have because you have to try and figure out of the 600 and plus members, but they nominate themselves, each other, I mean, and they can nominate themselves. But out of that, we choose 11 winners and of different categories of our business members who have been doing great things in the community throughout the year. And so it's just our once a year opportunity, like the Oscars or the Grammys. Like, this is the, you've been doing amazing work, and it's really inspiring to the other people. And really, out of when there's that many businesses, I think even to be nominated is pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to stand out amongst, you know, if you're a restaurant and you're standing out amongst 200 other restaurants, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's impressive to see always the list of nominees. And you know, someone else thought of you, someone else was impressed by you, to give you that nomination. And it's pretty remarkable. You know, the winners, it's amazing. It's also amazing for those nominees. And just to be a part of the event, I think it's a fun opportunity and a great opportunity to connect, learn more about some of the other people in our community that are doing wonderful things. And that networking opportunity right there in the space to see someone and talk to them and exchange ideas. And hopefully those are connections that continue past the event and everyone propels further.
Absolutely. I met some amazing people just in the networking piece of it. I got to meet Deputy Mayor Dr. Linda Bacunta and Gloria Reyes, the head of the Black Chamber, who we communicate with regularly, but I've never met a lot of these people in person, especially with COVID. So I just thought that was an amazing experience. And one of my favorite highlights of the night was the keynote or the opening talk by Justice Castaneda. He's from the Commonwealth Development. His speech was so reaffirming and so exciting, and it was all about safety. And I really, really enjoyed that, emotional and intellectual safety. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, Justice is a powerhouse, by the way, if you don't know who he is. He's a force out there in our community, force for good, and delivers a powerful message. And I got a chance to catch up with him before that, you know, and it was really great that he made the time to be there and took that opportunity to bring his talents and his perspective to the night and to the event and kind of set the tone. We also had a nice host from Channel 3 and Josh and, you know, Josh Spreiter and so many great businesses that help make this possible too, sponsors and organizations that support recognizing these individuals in our community. And so I love the Biz Awards so much. I know, you know, another key thing was longtime board member, longtime person affiliated with so many things for local businesses and Dame by Local in particular. Amy Johnson was recognized as well with the Legacy
yes.
Award, and well-deserved.
Yeah, that was, as you say, there's people that are just a force, and Amy is one of those people, but you don't see her on the outside as a force. You see her you feel her on the inside as a force. And so to see her in person, just feel so humbled, was a really beautiful experience as well. Just, you know, really struck by the experience. And yeah, and we do. You're right. We had a record attendance, and we had more sponsors than we've ever had. Which are businesses that wanted to have a part in it and supporting it. So that made it great as well.
And maybe a shameless plug here, but the winners this year got some sweet logoed journals from At Your Core Communications. So you're welcome, everybody, who won this year for that.
Yeah, we did recognize last year's winner, which include Double Radio, which was exciting because we weren't able to do that in person this year. Did we want to do a real quick recap of the winners, or...
Yeah, if you want to go through the list, we've got about 4 minutes left here, and then I know we got one other thing to mention before we move on, although that's moving forward, but let's finish up recapping the Dane by Local Biz Awards here that just happened on Wednesday night.
Great. I'm just going to read them off real quickly. The Above and Beyond Award went to Delta Beer Lab for all the work that they do in making sure that all of their staff have a living wage, and tips then go to a different cause every month. Community Supporter Award went to the Bank of Sun Prairie with a really lovely acceptance speech from the community members there of their staff. Family Wellbeing Award went to Ula Eyewear. Impressive New Member Award went to P-Dice Entertainment, who also brought the 360 machine and does... I'm trying to think of the word right now, but like mascots to events and does many fun things. Lemonade Maker Award was a sentimental one for me. It was an important one to me. Cafe Costa Rica, Mango Man won. Tony Clark was in a really difficult situation this year in a horrific accident, which has really affected his small business. And the community just really stepped up and supported him. And he's just fighting his way through it, and he's getting back. So, you know, he took something hard, and he's continuing to move forward. Look for the Help Award went to Cambridge Market Cafe. If you have never been out there, go out there. Kathy Yerges runs that place. Not only is it good food, it's good coffee because it's Rusty Dog Coffee, but she also has a general store, and she just supports as many local businesses as possible. So you can really, it's a one-stop shopping for you, and she does meal preps. So you could pick up breakfast and a coffee, and you could get your whole family meal for the night and some sundries that you might need for your house. Outstanding Innovator Award went to Beef Butter Barbecue. He never stops. He's in a 3-year impact. His impact has been massive. Partnership Award went to Evju Foundation, which is an arm of the Cap Times. Sustainability Award went to Holy Wisdom Monastery, our host, which did a great job. And that is, you know, if you haven't been to the property alone, we're talking about the venue, but the property alone, they have 191 acres. And I believe 90 of them are reserved just for public walking paths. So they're doing a lot to support the community in that way. Head out there. Community Progress Award went to Short Stack Eatery for all of the giving back they do. Staff Pick Award, which we chose, went to Zoe of Z Boutique. And as you mentioned before, our Rolls Moles Legacy Award went to Amy Johnson.
Yeah, wonderful group of recipients there. And again, amazing night and just a wonderful event that kind of just puts that home for everybody, right? About why we're doing what we're doing, why so many of these people are involved. And it also, it's a little bit of an affirmation sometimes for some of these business owners and leaders that have been through so much, especially in the last handful of years, about do I keep this going? Do I not? How can I get through these struggles? You know, to be recognized like that, sometimes it's a nice little shot in the arm to say, hey, people recognize what you're doing. We see what you're doing. And
you're not doing it alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that was the Dame by Local Biz Awards. There are some pictures and some other things floating around on social media. You can find out there more about it if you like. Also, you can check out any of those businesses and you can head to danebylocal.com to learn more. Megan, there are other events coming up and we'll just do a quick preview here. We got about a minute, but some things, you know, no rest for the wicked here, Megan. We got another thing coming right around the corner.
Yeah, our holiday passport season is starting, and this is a complete give back to the community. It obviously it's a piece for us to drive direct business to our members and other businesses in the community. So it benefits the businesses, but it is a huge benefit to the community. It gives you, a passport is essentially 169 businesses. It's the most businesses we've ever had participating. All over Belleville, Marshall, DeForest, you can go pretty much anywhere in this Dane County area and find participating businesses. You can plan a day and just make a little path and follow your passport and go to all these shops. And if you spend $10 at any of them, you can take a picture of your receipt, send it to us, and you'll be entered into a drawing every Monday. And those, if you don't win on Monday, it rolls into the next one, into the next one. So it's just a fun way to get people out there seeing businesses, getting in the door, getting their shopping done for the holidays. It runs November 1st through December 19th, which is in conjunction with Indie Shop Local Season.
More info on that and shows ahead. Megan, thanks for your time. Congrats on a great Biz Awards, and we'll catch you again.
Thank you.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama, 'cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out.
Yes, it's time to ease your fears, ease your concerns with our good friend, Supek of Evolution Financial. So there's some scary things still happening in the world, right? But you're here to help clear up some of the misinformation, and ease some concerns, and have a steady hand for people, right? Supek, Evolution.
There are, absolutely. There are a lot of scary things that are happening out there, and I can definitely be the steady hand for you.
But Stevie makes you feel better, right? I mean,
no, always.
Okay, Sue. Supek, tell people a little bit. Supek, our friend, one of the sponsors of the show, Evolution Financial, evolutionfinplan.com. Sue, it's been a very volatile year. We know that things continue to be volatile. Update us. What's happening right now and what should people be focusing on?
It has definitely been a rough year. One of the things that, you know, I just sent my quarterly letter out to my clients, and one of the things that I said is I can throw out all of the logic in the world right now, but if you're scared, you're scared. And I understand that. You know, it's a very scary world out there right now. You know, one of the things that we're looking at is the S&P 500, which is, a mix of 500 of the largest U.S. companies. That is down over 25% for the year. So people are looking at their retirement accounts. People are looking at their brokerage accounts and their retirement plans and saying, wow, I have lost over 20% of the money that I had at the beginning of the year when we were at a market high. And it is tough to look at that. But one of the things that I try to help people focus on is the fact that we're looking at this for the long term. You know, for the most part, people's accounts have a good mix of stocks and bonds. And while bonds are also down for the year, ordinarily, you know, it gives us an opportunity to have that diversification, which means that when something's down, something is probably down a little bit less. And there are different places to look in your portfolio if you need money right now. But for the most part, we're all looking at this as more of a longer term kind of thing. And in general, the market does tend to go up.
Another thing, and I saw my friend Laura Stanfield putting out a video here just recently kind of about the mortgage situation, right? So mortgages are a big concern as well. What can we tell people there? And again, kind of looking at trying to not overreact to the situation, understanding that there are going to be some things that ebb and flow at times, and knee-jerk reactions are not always the best.
Right. Mortgages right now, a 30-year mortgage is roughly around 7% right now, which is the highest it's been in decades. So if you're in a situation where you're, you know, going to be buying a house or something like that, it's certainly not an ideal situation to get into. What we are seeing is that housing prices are starting to come down a little bit because of the mortgage rates. This is exactly what the Fed is trying to make happen, is trying to slow down the economy a little bit because of the inflation. I'm getting a little bit into the weeds right now. So when it comes to mortgages, one of the things to keep in mind is, yes, it is a big hit to take up front. It certainly is. But it's a good idea to keep in mind that mortgage rates do go up and do go down as well. So while you might be taking a big hit right now, there is the possibility that mortgage rates will go down again at some point, and it would be a good idea to refinance at that point. And also, if you bought a house within the last few years, you're currently sitting on a really great mortgage rate. So a lot of people can count themselves really, really lucky if they did refinance or bought a house within the last few years and have that opportunity to kind of slow down, take a look at that and say, okay, this is a great place that I'm in.
A lot of people in our age bracket or younger don't probably remember mortgage rates of the 80s, but I remember my parents getting a house in the mid 80s, and I think that mortgage rate was like 18.5%.
Yeah, we're looking at 15, 16. It's just amazing the rates that people were paying in the 80s. Absolutely. And hopefully we will not get that high. I know that 7% is such a difficult number to see right now because, you know, like you said, most of us don't remember what was going on in the 80s.
Well, we remember the
most
music
of
from
our
the,
age or younger.
Some of the music from the '80s coming back, Sue. We know that Rick Astley had that revival. So anyway, Sue, also talking with you, we got the mortgages, we have the markets. We talk about what the Fed is trying to do. Inflation. All of this is trying to prevent a big economic downturn or recession. So where are we on the front of recession right now?
Yeah, so the possibility or the probability of a recession has certainly gone up. People are definitely looking at that as potentially happening sometime in 2023. One of the things I talked to a client just this last week, and one of the things that he asked me was, aren't we already currently in a recession because, you know, things have contracted so much this year? And I said, yes and no. You know, one of the things that they look at when they're actually labeling something as a recession is they also take a look at the employment numbers. And right now, employment numbers are still really, really strong. So they're not quite saying that we're in a recession yet, but yes, that probability is going up going into 2023. One of the things you also want to keep in mind when it comes to investing in a recession is stocks tend to be forward-looking. So even when things feel really, really bad in the midst of a recession, that might be when the stocks start to tick up. We're never going to know where the bottom is until we've already come out of it. So this is one of the reasons why, even if people think we're going into a recession, it's a really good idea to stay invested because you just don't know when things are going to start moving up again, and you don't want to miss that.
Sue, just one more minute with you before we go, but I know something that you've always prided yourself on is communication with your clients. Tell us a little bit about extra steps you're taking now to make sure that your customers are comfortable and getting the right information from you.
Yeah, I am reaching out to all my clients right now and making sure that we have a meeting on the books if they want to talk, because I know a lot of times people need somebody that they want to talk to, and they really want to talk about the feelings that they're having as they're going into a potential recession and as they're looking at their investments going down. And it's really important to have those meetings, to schedule that time, so you can have some time to really talk to your advisor and get those feelings out and find out what the next step should be.
That is Sue Peck, owner, founder, Evolution Financial. Again, you can find out more about her at evolutionfinplan.com. Also, she's active on the North Side. I don't know if she's got the hashtag or identity North Side Sue yet, but I think it might be coming soon.
I should try. That sounds great.
Sue, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for supporting the program, and thanks for everything you do for your customers and clients in our community.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason.
And remember, Stevie says, don't you worry. And if you have Sue on your side, you don't need to worry. We'll be back on the other side of the break, second half of the program, with John Hayes of Goodman's Jewelers, and Denise Jess talks about disability voting rights and some important measures leading up to the election. Be back in a minute. Back here on The Big Show, Let's Get Local. Every Saturday from the Solidarity Realty Studios, sometimes on location, and we're working on some ideas for location Let's Get Locals coming up here as we head to the fourth quarter, trying to get more attention on our local businesses and get you thinking about Shop Indie Local, about going local for all your holiday shopping and beyond, maybe all your shopping whenever possible would be a great idea. And we have so many wonderful areas in our community, right here in Madison, but surrounding communities as well. So many great local shops that you can participate in, that you can support neighbors and friends, people in your community, and strengthen your local economy in the process, which keeps more money circulating in your local economy, which is better for you, the tax base, and everything. We've explained this on the show from time to time. And so that's one of the reasons we're here, and we continue to bring up that message. But we also know in Madison, State Street, a wonderful place to go shopping. There are great places downtown. And now we get a chance to talk with John Hayes of Goodman's Jewelers to learn all about what Goodman's Jewelers has been doing in our community and their unique story being around for about 90 years. John Hayes from Goodman's Jewelers, how are you?
Doing great. It's great to see the seasons change.
John, tell people a little bit about the history of Goodman's Jewelers and your involvement, because you've been there quite some time too.
Goodman's was started in 1933 by Irwin Goodman. Actually, his parents, he convinced them to buy the store that was failing, and then he purchased the business from them in 1938 and convinced his brother Bob to join him, and they built the business over a long period of time, being involved in the community and giving people a good product at a fair price with good service, and that's how we try to maintain that today. I joined the business in 1983, so I've been here almost 40 years. Started as a sales associate and was promoted to store manager in 1998, when Bob and Irwin decided to retire, they gave me the opportunity to purchase the business. It was really more of a transition than a transaction. They truly treated me like a son. They were tremendous mentors and friends, and I learned a lot from them, especially about being involved in the community and the difference that makes to give back to the community that supports you as part of their general business theme. So we try to maintain that as best we can today as well. Still giving good service and listen to people. I don't have people on commission, nor did Bob and Irwin, because we feel it's more important that we listen and take time to understand what the customer wants and needs instead of pushing product. So try to create an atmosphere that is comfortable, enjoyable, and have products that are high quality and good value.
John, you mentioned so much of the philosophy of giving back, and it's, you know, there's no shortage of that with Goodman's Jewelers. A lot here recently too, there have been difficult times for a lot of people, and I know that was something that Goodman's Jewelers stepped up right away when there were challenges, when there were ways you could help out. You guys, especially in the last couple of years, have found ways to help out.
Each year during the holidays, we have a specific piece of jewelry that we make up and sell for, we're $125 to $175 in that range. So not too expensive, but nice. And 100% of those proceeds are divided between the Boys and Girls Club and the Goodman Community Center. And we participate in a lot of other things where people are having fundraisers for different nonprofits, and we supply products for them for silent auctions or door prizes. Important to us to be able to give back. And we're very, very fortunate to be in the position to be able to help when we can.
And when you look at the work of Goodman's Jewelers, the longevity of it, John, what do you think that all can be attributed to? It's obviously, it's, you guys are coming up on 90 years here pretty soon. And it's pretty remarkable, right? So how does a business last that long?
Treating people right. The basic core values of treating people like you would like to be treated yourself are extremely important. And it doesn't matter if it's a watch battery for $10 or a fantastic diamond for $10,000. Everybody needs to be treated equally and respectfully, and make sure that they're satisfied with what we're doing. So taking the time, listening, asking questions, and not being pushy about anything, make sure we really understand what they want. And we do a lot of repair work, a lot of heirloom pieces that people trust us with because they know we're going to take the time to do it right and be very respectful of what it means to them. And every piece of jewelry has a story, and that story can start here, or it may have started 100 years ago, but it's all part of the emotion of having the connection to who it's given to, who it was received from. And we're really proud to be able to take the time and help people and give them the satisfaction of knowing that we're going to take care of them.
You look at jewelry pieces, you look at some of these things, and they are things that have so much meaning to people way beyond what the monetary value is of the item. And the fact that Goodman's Jewelers is there to help preserve, restore, when needed, maintain those items so all of that value can be intact for those customers, I think is incredibly valuable. What kind of things have you heard from your customers about items that you help stay in their family, in their family tree, things like that?
People that bring in a piece that they know was their grandmother's, and it was handed down to their mother, and now it's down to her. I always talk to people about writing that story down because it's so personal, and over time it can get lost. But to listen to people about the meaning and see the emotion that's attached to that piece is really a privilege to be able to share in that element of their lives and be able to start new ones with the new pieces that they buy, to know that we really understand the meaning of why they're buying it. It's the emotional bond that's made through the gift of a piece of jewelry that I don't think you can get anyplace else, because it's something that lasts forever if it's taken care of right.
We're talking with John Hayes over at Goodman's Jewelers, again, downtown State Street here in Madison. John, when you talk about being in Madison, being in downtown, and being a staple like Goodman's Jewelers has been, what does it mean to be a business in downtown in this city?
It's a great feeling to be downtown and be a part of the history of the city, to be a part of this tremendous street of State Street and its long history of being a center for people to go. Every one of my employees loves coming downtown, loves coming to work, and everybody takes a lot of pride in being here and working with the people that come downtown.
John, thanks for what you do and the team at Goodman's Jewelers and what you provide and what you bring to Madison.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate the time with you as well. Thank you.
Class act, John Hayes, Goodman Jewelers, coming up on 90 years in business. That wonderful, wonderful local business here in our community, 220 State Street. And they just have been a wonderful community partner, focusing on all the right things as well. BLM, putting themselves out there, front and center. Goodman's Jewelers. Find out more about them at goodmansjewelers.com. We'll talk about voting rights for people with disabilities with Denise Jess right after the break.
Now's the time for stepping out of place. Get up on your feet and give account of your faith. Pray to God or something, or whatever you do. What I see can make me stop and stare. But who am I to judge the color of your hair? Surely y'all are feeling much the same as I do. We got to keep this world together. Got to keep it moving straight.
Welcome back to Let's Get Local for the final segment. Now we get an opportunity to be joined by our good friend Denise Jess of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Oh, let's see. And I could list off about 10 other things that she's involved in, important things in the community. Denise, thanks for making time for us today, especially leading up to the election to talk about very important issues for voters with disabilities.
Jason, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks so much.
So you were front and center here. There was a specific date last week and week, right, identified to put this effort out there into the community, put it on people's radars. Mayor Rhodes Conway was involved. You were at a press conference. Others talking about people with disabilities, their right to vote, and the accommodations that they have a right to.
Exactly. So under the U.S. Voting Rights Act and also under state law, people with disabilities are granted rights that create an opportunity for us to be able to cast our ballot and hopefully to be able to cast that privately and independently.
So talk a little bit about that. First of all, well, let's talk about that, but then I want your perspective as well on as a voter with vision impairment. What is that experience like for you to vote?
So there are the city of Madison, first of all, I want to do a call out, does an exceptional job of striving to remove those barriers. And nonetheless, people with vision loss and other disabilities across the state face multiple barriers to vote. So for me personally, if I want to vote absentee by paper ballot, the significant barrier exists that the print on a paper ballot is incredibly small. It's about 8-point font. And so anyone with vision loss, even just more typical aging-related vision loss, isn't going to be able to see that ballot to be able to read it and to vote it. So I have to have my ballot read to me by an assister. And that is a right granted to me under the Federal Voting Rights Act, that I get to choose an assister of my choice, as long as it's not my employer or union steward. But the person has to read the ballot. And then because the little circle for filling it in is very tiny, they mark it for me. And they also have to signify that they assisted with the ballot. So, but it takes away my right to be able to do that process independently. If I go to the polls, state law grants that I should be able to use accessible voting equipment, which will read me the ballot, and then I can use a marking device to mark the ballot and then print it and insert it in the tabulator along with all other ballots. The barrier there is that in polling places across the state, that voting equipment may not be set up, ready to go and be utilized by the voter. And we may need to ask to have it prepared for us, which causes a significant delay in the voting process. I also have the right to ask for assistance in the polling place too, if I either choose not to use that equipment or it's not set up ready to go. And then the last thing is that if I'm voting absentee back to paper ballot again, and I can't get that ballot to my clerk for whatever reason, I don't trust putting it in the mail as a timely option, I have the right to ask for assistance in having someone deliver that ballot for me.
Mm. So there are a lot of things you just talked about there that certain people have tried to cast doubt on the process, on some of those things, on the trustability and the reliability of some of those things. But
exactly.
you're saying those are rights. These are rights to every voter that needs that assistance. That is law that they have those rights.
That's right. It is absolutely law. And the security and safety of the ballot are preserved under those things. So if I ask someone again of my choosing to mark my ballot, I'm very careful about who that choice is, because there is a point of vulnerability there that someone, especially because I can't see the ballot, could mark it against my wishes. But that right is there, and I then need to carefully choose who I select as an assister. It would be awesome if Wisconsin had a balloting option that could be sent to me electronically at home. I could vote my ballot and then return it to the clerk, to the voting authorities. And that would really allow for my privacy and independence. But Wisconsin law prohibits that. So yeah, if a voter asks for someone to deliver their ballot, that's not ballot harvesting, which is how it is often referred to. Harvesting ballots is where you collect hundreds of them. But for someone who is entrusted to carry the ballot for someone with disabilities, you know, they are taking that job on in earnest to get that ballot safely and securely to the proper authorities. And those of us using the equipment in the polling place, again, that equipment is safe and secure. It's not attached to the internet. It's simply an interactive printer. That's all it is. I get to hear the ballot, mark it, and then hit the print button. I carry my ballot to the tabulator, just like every other voter in the polling place.
So polling places do, I'm sure they try to select polling places that are as accessible for all people with disabilities as possible. And you just mentioned how good of a job Madison does. What do you know about accommodations around the state of Wisconsin? And are they all up to scale where Madison is right now?
So it varies significantly, even within the city of Madison. You know, how accessible curbside voting is might be, you know, very you know, fluctuate in how good the lighting is, how good wayfinding is. There is a lot of variability across the state. We hear stories as advocates about the equipment not being set up, about people being challenged when they bring an assister with them, or a poll worker saying that they can't assist, and by law, yes, actually they can. Curbside voting not being offered, snow removal not happening for easy access into the polling place. The Wisconsin Elections Commission runs a polling place review program and partners with other agencies to try to get inspectors into the polling places on election day around the state. But with thousands and thousands of polling places, you know, it's a small margin that we're actually able to see. But go in, take a look, assess how accessible the polling place is, write a report, and ask for mitigation and remediation when requested.
You and I have talked before about, and you've been open and candid sharing, people with disabilities, how they have often been excluded, how they haven't been included in a lot of things. With the right to vote, mm-hmm. as a person with disabilities, what does that mean to people with disabilities to be able to execute that right?
It is so incredibly critical because as people with disabilities, we are often left out of critical conversations about the quality of our lives for employment, healthcare, education, and we're not often invited to the table. And so being able to vote is one way that we make our voices heard and our unique perspective is taken into account. So barriers to voting become yet another way to keep us from having access to the decision table.
And Denise, we're talking with Denise Jess. Sorry, I got so wrapped up in the conversation. Denise Jess, Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, doing all kinds of great work and an advocate for people with disabilities around our state and with related to transportation. We're talking about voting rights today. So much that she does, Denise. What is that? You talked about that experience before. How do you prove that? How are you not challenged when you go into a polling place as a disabled person bringing in a sister? What do you have to do?
You need to, all voters with disabilities and our allies, and I would say poll workers as well, really need to understand our rights to vote. And so if you are challenged in your right to vote, the first thing that you want to do is make sure you know your rights, that you have the right to an assistant, and as long as it's not your employer or somebody on the ballot or your union steward. And if you are still being denied, then ask to speak with the chief elections inspector. They're like the supervisor of the polling place. If your need still isn't satisfied, then ask to talk to your municipal clerk. Again, if you are unable to get your needs satisfied, don't leave the polls, because oftentimes people don't come back to vote. You can call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Voter Hotline, and I'm remiss because I don't have that hotline number in front of me.
That's okay, Denise. So, you're giving great information.
Yeah.
Great online source to head quickly before we got to go for people if they need answers.
Yep, go to the Disability Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition website at disabilityvote.org, and lots and lots of resources there, including that phone number for the hotline.
Denise Jess, thank you so much.